Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Point. It is a show where I drive from one point to another and try to get to the point. Today's point. I really like Steam Next Fest. Yes, hello, it is I, Phil, from 70% Complete. Today we are talking about Steam Next Fest and how much I love it. Here's the thing. This is a broader discussion, I think. I like Steam Next Fest. I like demos more. If you have been following the site for a while, that's 70%complete.com, or just kind of the general video stuff that we put out or our podcasts, I think it is pretty clear that a thing that Logan and I in the podcast and kind of stuff that I hammer on a little bit more in text is I like gateway media. And this is kind of a way to say that, you know, I like things that open up new pathways for me. And whether that's new types of media, like, you know, the saga of 2025 was pivoting to horror and like trying out a bunch of different horror games and different forms. And then, you know, the failed expedition, if you will, into turn-based games, which I will return to, I promise. But something I've been thinking about a lot for a while now is the usage of public domain IP as like a cool way to get you into different forms. So one of the demos in Steam Next Fest I think is kind of perfect for this, which is the Oligary Circle, I think? The Oligary Circle, Dante's Bloodline. It's a bit of a word salad, but it is a psychological walking sim kind of, I don't say this to say that it is the same level of this, because I haven't played enough of it, but it's got some Myst vibes to it a little bit, which I am always here for. There's a treasure chest that requires you to have a clock and also chess pieces. You know, it's one of those. And the thing that I kind of like about it is that it's using, like, public domain stuff, like the, you know, the Divine Comedy as a focusing point to kind of build a game off of. It is not one of the only Dante Inferno games, you know. There is quite literally Dante's Inferno for the Xbox 360. But this is also kind of coming up. One of my games of the year last year was Tainted Grail, The Fall of Avalon, which is, again, using King Arthur lore, I guess. I guess it's like capital L lore. Using King Arthur stuff to get people to, like, engage with that. And it's also using Skyrim-style gameplay to, like, introduce you to a new take on Arthurian lore. And I love that stuff. I think that, you know, gateway media is a really cool way of like getting people into new things and showing them different flavors of it. Like, King Arthur doesn't have to be just straight up knights and chivalry. Like, it doesn't have to be Heath Ledger's A Knight Tale. It could be. It doesn't have to be. It can be The Green Knight, which I think is also like equally kind of cool. And you know, then it can be like death metal album cover Tainted Grail, and kind of the same thing with Dante's Bloodline. Like, that game is not necessarily about being Dante, but it is about experiencing some of the story of Dante's Inferno through like a modern lens, which I always enjoy. And I guess the broader point here is that I think that Steam Next Fest is great for gateway stuff, and demos in general. Like, they are an interesting way to have a very low stakes entry point into trying something new. And I think that that's kind of my bigger takeaway from Next Fest, is that I've played a handful of demos and I've still got just an absolute boatload of future demos that I want to dig into. My list is over 50 long at this point, and I want to dig into them and try to play around and have some fun with them. But of those demos, there's a very healthy mix of, these are fill-ass games, and then these are very much not games that I would ever pay money for just on the spot. And one of those is a game called Luna Abyss, which is a first-person bullet hell of some variety with a mix of traversal stuff in there. And it is, I mean this complimentary, but it is what if you had like the Doom traversal skills and also kind of like the Housemarque style bullet hell, like big glowy orb shooting at you, but it was Scorn and it was only in black and red. It is a wild looking game, and it is something that I just simply would never touch if there wasn't a demo for it. It just, like, on the face of it, it looks cool, but it is not the kind of game that I typically play. But jumping into that demo, they have two demo episodes out right now that you can go give a shot. There's two different levels. And it's neat. It's a cool game. I'm kind of looking forward to it now just to see what other folks have to say about it, because you can see in the video that comes out later this week that, like, I have some thoughts about it and some little tiny quibbles about, like, traversal and how nimble you feel. And I think that is kind of the downfall of demos sometimes, is kind of figuring out what the power set is that you want to show off. And, you know, because they're so constrained, it's tough to tell how expansive the game is going to be and what the big play space you have to play in. Like, I didn't see a skill tree or anything, but that doesn't mean that, you know, there isn't one, or that there's not like a cool double jump or stuff like that, you know? So I think that's kind of like a little bit of a downfall of demos, but, and you know, sometimes you play a demo and just like a really good classic rock song, sometimes you know how to end it and you're like, damn, they know how to end it. And then sometimes they hit you with the slow fade and you're like, oh, okay. So they're just like, the idea here is that they're just slow ride, taking it easy, just in perpetuity forever, because they simply could not figure out how to end this song. And some demos feel that way, where they're like, we didn't quite know where to end this, so wishlist now? Question mark? But I guess the broader point here, and something that I really want to hammer home, is like, go out and play some Next Fest demos if you can. And honestly, like, most of the, I guess, I'm pretty sure Nintendo does this too, but the Switch, the Xbox, the PlayStation, like, truly, go out and just download some demos for some wild-looking games that maybe you would never play or you wouldn't really give a shot. Because I think even if you don't end up buying that game or playing more of it, the thing that I really like about it as like a taste-making exercise is that it helps you like figure out why. Like Luna Abyss, right? Like, that's not a game that I would typically buy. Not interested in playing those kinds of games. And by those kinds of games, I mean like frenetic bullet hell shooters that, you know, kind of seem more interested in mechanics over like story or like world building. That's kind of the reason that I haven't really gone back to Doom in a really long time, Doom 2016. As much as people love that game and speak super highly of it, I need a little bit more than, you know, the silent protagonist punches wall to open elevator. And all everyone ever talks about is how fluid and nice that game feels. And as a person who's not, like, super into, like, mechanics-driven games, it's kind of been like, okay, well, I'll get to it someday, I think. Coming up on 10 years now of some days. But Luna Abyss is one of those games where, like, it feels like this is meant for, like, people who like these kinds of games. And that is not me. But I tried it anyways, and I can tell you that I am interested in playing more of this game. I'm actually on the way home to load up that second level right now. And also, I now have a better understanding of why I think these games probably still aren't for me. There's a lot of stuff in that demo that allows me to kind of like test my own biases against it and come away like either validating some of those, invalidating them, or forming new opinions, which I think is kind of, in the much grander scale, the benefit to trying out a ton of demos. Like, especially in a world where the average gamer, like, buys 1 to 2 video games a year. You know, we are probably not the average gamer in that kind of way. But it means that, you know, when that 1 or 2 big major game comes out, you can at least have been playing a couple of free demos to see, like, okay, like, maybe this is not going to be one of my 1 or 2 games a year that I'm going to end up buying, but it is opening me up to a new kind of video game, which I think is just generally a net positive. I think the kind of negative bit here about NextFest in general is that it has now become like a cottage industry of demo making. Like, it is absolutely chock-a-block full of all of the latest and greatest demos. I think I saw that there was over 3,300 demos this year in the February NextFest, which is unheard of. Like I said, I have 50 to 60 in my library right now. And, you know, how many of those are AI games? Who could say? It's a non-zero number, I'll tell you that. Unfortunately, but there are so many demos out there for so many new games that are coming out, and I think that you kind of owe it yourself. Like, there's going to be at least 15 demos that are out that work for literally every person out there. Like, you will be able to go hunting if you want to and find at least 15 demos that speak to you in some interesting way. And I bet at least 10 of them are going to be games that you have never heard of, never seen before, and potentially in genres or styles you have never even thought are things that you would be interested in. And I think that that's really the power here, is that NextFest and just the general, you know, hoopla around a lot of demos coming out around the same time is like a perfect storm of getting people interested and looking at video games as like new ways to tell interesting stories, because there's just some buck wild stuff out there, folks. Like, they make games about everything. They make any kind of game these days, and I think that it's kind of on us to like go out and check it out and find the new stuff that is like really singing to us, whether that's, you know, new, you know, capital N novel, because we haven't seen a game quite like this before, or new to you in like a new way to experience an old story or a new story. And that's the gateway part that really gets me excited about NextFest and demos in general. Like, I collect demos throughout the year so that, you know, someday I'll be able to play them and try out new stuff from like small teams that I've never heard of, and, you know, stuff that just like looks cool, is like a fun way of doing new mechanics and everything. And I think that, you know, if we spent a little bit more time scrolling through demo listings on Steam than we did scrolling through Amazon listings just for some idle retail therapy, I think that we'd probably be a little bit better off in general. Like, I think that there really is something to, you know, using your Steam feed, using, you know, your PlayStation Store feed as a way to kind of curate new interesting stuff to check out instead of engaging with, you know, media that's trying to sell you other stuff. I think that there's something there. Like, find new artwork to enjoy. Find the new weird thing that you want to look at in closer detail. And I think maybe you'll find a little bit of happiness there, or at least some challenging stuff, which I think is equally as important. You know, like, find something that challenges your worldview, or, you know, makes you think about the environment around you in a slightly different way. Like, that is the power of something like NextFest, or just, you know, entertaining new media in general. NextFest is kind of this beautiful moment where everyone kind of gloms to this moment to put out their demo and do stuff, but I mean, you don't have to engage with NextFest specifically, you know, like there is plenty of demos out there all the time to give stuff a go and really try it out. And I think you will end up being very surprised at how small these very impactful games can be, and how, you know, as much as the top selling charts of video games want to tell us that the experience for most gamers is just Call of Duty, Fortnite, and like League of Legends or whatever, like you could try something else. Like, you could try The Witch's Bakery. That's like probably a several hour video game about running a bakery in Paris, but also you're a witch, and that sounds pretty sick. So yeah, give it a go. Go check out NextFest. Find a demo that you like. Let me know what demo it is that is like really, really doing it for you. And I think you will find something that you will enjoy. I think you will find something that is interesting to you. And I think that hopefully you will leave, maybe not feeling happier. Sometimes you will, but I bet you will leave feeling having like a better understanding of what it is you like about games, what it is, you know, that works for you about games. And I mean, really, what's better than that? You know, experience some art, learn a little bit about yourself, have fun. I mean, that's pretty damn close to the meaning of life, if you ask me. But yeah, so go check it out. I am about to go check it out, so you can stay tuned to that. We'll have more on the other 30% channel. There's going to be some more stuff coming up: The Witch's Bakery, Luna Abyss, that Dante game I talked about. I got a whole other slate of games that I'm checking out probably today or tomorrow that'll be rolling out in the next week or so. So lots of demos hitting, hoping to have a decent amount of footage for some of them. And then hopefully, you know, we'll have a good Wishlist Wednesday update this week or next week about some of the great stuff coming out on 70%complete.com. So go check it out. Give that channel a follow. That's The Other 30%. Or The Other 30, I believe, is what the actual URL is. 70%complete.com is the website where I'll have text roundups, stuff like that. And we'll have a new episode of the 70% Complete podcast coming out next week about, I think this is the Dishonored episode, Dishonored number one. So stay tuned to that. All right, have a good rest of your day, and let me know what demo is really working for you. All right, see you.